Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 17. Entitled the message for this evening, God's Work in the Last Days. God's Work in the Last Days. God's work is in the world. He continues to work in our midst. And even during these times in which we live, God is still at work. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as John and Jambre withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But over them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you do in our lives, and we thank you for the truth that you show us in regards to these last days in which we live. I pray you'd help each and every one of us to understand our surroundings and understand what it is that God is trying to teach us through these times. And I pray you'd help each and every one of us to look to you in all that we do. Again, Lord, I pray if there is someone watching, or if there is someone in our midst who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that this will be the night to come to trust in you. Lord, for all those who do know you and they've trusted in you for salvation, Lord, I pray you'd help them to live a life that is well-pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. From the cross to the resurrection of the believers, we've been and will be living in the last days. The last days, it gives a description of all sorts of ungodliness. And the reason for all this is simply sin. In the last days, sin is going to abound. Men will wax worse and worse. People will go around deceiving and being deceived. But just as the days were dark in Jesus' day, the days are dark now. The reason why the days are dark is the same reason they have always been dark. It's because of sin. Sin has put a darkness on this world. The people of this world, their resistance to the truth is manifested within their lives and by their practice. We get a description of how people will be living, what people will be doing, how they will act in the last days, and I'm going to go through that in just a moment. Their state is clearly evident. And the Bible says, for those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the powers of were from such to turn away. These are not to be people we're to hang around with. We're not to associate with them. Doesn't mean we don't reach out to them, but obviously we are not to be partaking in the evil deeds in which they are. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we learn a very important lesson, that even though these days are dark, there is an answer. The answer is found in the Word of God. The Bible says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The difference, the game changer, what will make the difference in a person's life is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What people need in these last days, these dark days, is to hear the good news that Jesus saves. They need to hear the good news about what Jesus has done for them at the cross. They need to hear the news that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. This description I'm about to go through, as the Bible puts it, such were some of you. We're no different than these people in the sense that we were saved from sin. By the grace of God, if we allow God to work in our lives, we can be different, but it's only because of the grace of God. Our responsibility as Christians is to be a light in this dark and dying world by the power of the Scriptures working in our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see, first of all, the state of the world. The state of the world. If you're taking notes, the state of the world. Letter A, it is perilous. It is perilous. To be perilous means it's exposed to imminent risk of disaster or ruin. The world is in a perilous state, is exposed to an imminent state of disaster or ruin. What is the imminent disaster that people faced? The imminent disaster is the judgment of God. One day God will judge this world. One day God will say, enough is enough. Time will be no more. Things will come to an end. But the reason why it hasn't happened yet, we know the truth. God is merciful. God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That people would change their hearts and minds and accept the fact that they're sinners and accept the fact that Jesus loved them enough to die on the cross. He was buried and he rose again on the third day so that they could have everlasting life. But as we look at it will be perilous, the only thing is stopping the judgment of God is his long suffering. I'll read it in 2 Peter chapter 3, even though I've just mentioned it, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. This is a choice they have made. They're willingly ignorant of this. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It will be perilous. And it is perilous. We live in a dark day where people are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. While on the world we will face a perilous journey, we will face these perilous times because of the fact that people are living in sin. That is what makes these days perilous. The state of this world will vex our righteous soul. In a sense, we will be tempted to do evil that this world does, and follow it instead of following God. You and I still have a sin nature. We still have the ability to sin. We have been delivered from it. We don't have to live for sin anymore like we used to. But the truth is, in this world, we're going to face a perilous time because we're going to have to face temptation. We're going to have to deal with that old flesh. We're going to have to deal with the world. We're going to have to deal with the devil. And it is going to bring us perilous times. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and following, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The filthy conversation or lifestyle of the wicked is all around us. It is perilous. It is not something we enjoy to live in, or we should not enjoy to live in, but we also have to recognize that it is a temptation nonetheless. Everywhere we go, we'll be under attack from the things of this world because of sin. Our journey here below will be perilous and filled with persecution. Many times we'll be persecuted simply because we're not willing to walk as they walk, simply because we're not willing to live as they live. As we also look at the state of the world, that it will be perilous times, letter B, there will be men lovers of themselves. Men will be lovers of themselves. This means men will have self-centered motivations. If it doesn't benefit self, then it's not worth doing. This is being selfish, only concerned about self and not those around them. You see that within our society. It is push everyone off to the side so we can make more money. It is looking out for number one. It is, as long as you don't get in my way, it's okay. That is the state of our society. And the reason why people live this way is because they're lovers of themselves. They don't like to be inconvenient, or they don't want to suffer inconvenience because of other people. They love themselves. They're selfish. Letter C, people will be covetous. They will be covetous. They will having or showing a great desire to possess something belonging to someone else. The state of the world in these last days, the people will be covetous. What is someone else's should be mine is the attitude. It doesn't matter if I didn't work for it, I deserve it. It doesn't matter if it's my neighbor's, I want it. It doesn't matter whatever it is, it belongs to me. That is being covetous. And the Bible says that in the last days, that will be the practice of people. They'll covet things. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, 4 and following, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Also, the state of the last days, people will be boasters. Boasters. A boaster is someone who is known for boasting, bragging, especially in a way that exaggerates or shows excessive pride about the boaster's skills, possessions, or accomplishments. They view their talents and abilities as something that they have done. They say, look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I can do. Now, as children of God, we understand we have what we have by the grace of God. We have God-given talents. I'm capable of doing certain things, not because I'm such a hard worker, I'm so smart, but God gave me the wisdom to do certain things. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And we should never boast, because everything that we have is of God. In him we live and move and have our being. The Bible says, Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. There's nothing to boast of. Even in the world we live in, people, they do many things. They put their heart into the work. But we have to remember, God is the one that gives us each and every ability, and the ability to even learn. There will be boasters in the last days. Men will be proud. Men will be proud in the last days. Men are filled with pride. They think more of themselves than they ought to think. Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 and following, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, But don't you about questions and strifes of words where cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. They place more trust in themselves than they do in God. They place more trust in themselves than they do in others. They're filled with pride. Men in the last days will be blasphemers. They will be blasphemers. The name of the Lord is taken by so many people in vain. It is what they use when things don't go their way. Wherever you go, you hear God's name being blasphemed. The Bible says in Revelation 16, verse 11, and blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You see that in our society even now. People, when they're hurt or if they're going through pain, instead of looking to God for help, they take his name in vain. They hit their thumb with a hammer. The first thing that comes out of their mouth is the Lord's name in vain. When they're at work and they're frustrated because the boss gives them a job they don't want to do, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is the Lord's name in vain. People will be blasphemers. That is a sign of the perilous times. People will be disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. I'm saying all these things, and I'm giving you a description. Really what it's describing is the fact that we're all sinners. And as we look at the last days, they'll be disobedient to parents. It's strange to see a child say, yes, mom, or yes, dad. It's strange to see children who follow their parents and do as they're told. More often than not, and it's sad to see, you see the parents telling their parents, you see the children telling their parents what to buy, what to do, where we need to go. They think that they're the boss. They think that they can get whatever they want, and they don't have respect for their parents. They're disobedient to parents. In the last days, people will be unthankful. Unthankful. Whatever they have, it's still not good enough. Doesn't matter how much you've been blessed. You have a house, you have a family, you have kids, you have money, you have shelter, you have blessing upon blessing, but yet, still not good enough. They always need a better place. They always need a better car. They always need better friends. They always need something that is better. They're very unthankful. They don't realize what it is that they have. An unthankful generation. Unholy. Unholy. The people in our society live unholy lives. They walk in a way that is against God. They have no moral compass. They don't care what God has to say about their sin and their practice. They'd rather do what they want to do. And whatever they know they're not supposed to do, they want to do it even more just because they know they're not supposed to do it. And God says you should not do certain things. People will live unholy lives. They will be without natural affection. Without natural affection. They have no regard for human life. The ability to turn against their own family or attack your fellow man with no respect for their life is the result of having no natural affection. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father to the child, and the children shall rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. People should naturally love their families. They should naturally want to protect their families. But the Bible says in the last days, people will be without natural affection. I'm not that old, but at least I know from times gone by, many a times where there used to be a time where families stood up for each other, protected each other, and was concerned about their brothers, or they were concerned about their sisters. They were concerned about their family. But within our generation, there's no natural affection. They're quick to attack those in their own household. They'll be truce breakers. People will be truce breakers. These are people who are no longer concerned about whether or not they keep their word. The real reason behind contracts and videotaping of things and making sure you dot your I's and cross your T's and all these things is because we just don't trust people's word anymore. A person used to be as good as the word. You used to be able to count on someone. If they said they were going to do something, they were going to do it. But they don't do that. That is a sign of the last days. People are truce breakers. The Bible says in Psalm 15:4, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. What we need to be is that type of person who swears to their own hurt and changeth not. A person who, when they say something, they're going to do the best of their ability to do that thing. They're not going to just throw the words as meaning nothing. They're going to treat the words as meaning something. In the last days, there'll be truce breakers. In the last days, there'll be false accusers. People who are lying just to get someone else in trouble, regardless if it is true or not. This is really what a scam artist does. They like to lie in order to gain something, a quick dollar. And that is why you need dash cameras. It's why you need recordings of everything. People are quick to lie if they know it will profit them. If they know they can get a money out of a lie, they're quick to falsely accuse you so that they can get money of you by taking you to court, falsely accuse you and sue you over something. This is a sign of the last days. People will falsely accuse other people. They'll be incontinent. This means that they will have a lack of self-restraint, a lack of control. They act on impulse. They just do what they want to do with not even thinking. They act on impulse or emotion. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and following, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that counted pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. In these last days in which we live in, we see this more and more. People just do what they want to do. That's being incontinent. They have no self-control. People will be fierce. People will be fierce. They'll be having or displaying an intense or ferocious aggressiveness. The Bible says in Revelation 13:15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, being fierce is they try to force their way or beliefs upon others. This is the idea of those in our society who speak of tolerance but are very intolerant of you when you preach the truth of the Word of God. They want everyone to believe what they believe and accept their belief, or else they become angry or aggressive with you. The Bible says that this will be a sign of the last time. People will be fierce. They'll be aggressive in their practices. They expect everyone to think and do as they do, or else they'll become angry with you. They also will be despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 and following, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He there that despiseth, despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:3 and following, for the time past of our life may suffice us to wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The Bible says in the last days, people will be despisers of those that are good. If you have a good moral compass, you're serving the Lord, you're doing what's right, you're living your life based upon biblical principles, you're more concerned about pleasing God than pleasing others, the Bible says they're going to look at you and they're going to speak evil of you. They're not going to like you. They're going to think you're strange, and they're going to speak out against you. Also in the last days, people will be traitors. This is a person who betrays friend or country. They have no loyalty to anyone or anything. They are not loyal to God-given authority, but instead speak evil of it. Traitors, they have no desire to follow leadership, no desire to do what they're supposed to do. They're traitors. They turn their back on God-given authority. In the last days, people will be heady. Heady. This is to be willful or rash, headstrong or violent. This is the idea of being stubborn or stiff-necked. In the last days, people will be heady. They are one willing to change and are set in their ways. People will be heady. People will be high-minded. This is to be arrogant or haughty. The Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 18, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. One must realize where their blessings come from. And the Bible says that in the last days, people will be high-minded. And the Bible says, it makes it very clear that not to be high-minded or trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in anything except God. God is the only one you can trust. Don't be high-minded. Don't be like the world. The world is going to be filled with people who will say, look at what I've done. Look at all the wealth I've gathered together. And they're going to think of themselves higher than they ought to think. The Bible also says in the last days that people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Entertainment is their God. This is what they live for. What will make me laugh? What will make me cry? What will make my day a better day? What's the next movie? What's the next game I get to watch? What is it that will fill my pleasure in life? There could be many other things you could put there, but their focus is pleasure. And the Bible says this, just so we understand, that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And people will be more concerned about living for their sin than loving God. That's what they're out for. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for pleasure. They're looking for what makes them happy instead of looking for what makes God happy. And sometimes we have to realize what makes God happy is not going to make us happy. And what I mean by that is sometimes your flesh is not going to like it. But we need to submit to God and give him what he deserves. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That is a people who promote that there is a God. They'll say, we all serve the same God. We're all going in the same direction. But they deny the power thereof. They don't truly believe that there's a God. To them, it's just another status within society that they're with a group of people to make people happy. They don't believe in the power that God has. If they truly believed the power that God has and they had respect for God, then they wouldn't be partaking in the things that they're doing. You'll see it in our society. They'll say God accepts everything. He allows us to do all these things. But yet God in his word says, I don't accept this. I'm going to judge this. I'm going to deal with this. I've just given us a few of, there's many other things that could go on within the chapter. It deals with people in the last days, the state of the world. But we have a view now of what the world is going to be like. It's going to be filled with sin. But what is the solution? What is the solution? The solution for the world, number two, the solution for the world, and that is, first of all, salvation through the scriptures. Salvation through the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, I'll read again. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is preaching the gospel that makes a difference in a dark and dying world. It is telling people what they must do in order to be saved. is letting people know the truth that there is hope in these dark days. And that hope is Jesus. That hope is Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and following, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What the world needs is to hear the good news. In these dark days, people need to hear, so that from a child they can know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. What this, the darker the days get, the worse things become. There is no changing in what they need. What they need to hear is Jesus will save them. Jesus can make a difference in their lives. They need to hear the good news. Only the work of God can take what we have seen and make them a new creature. Of all those people, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, disobedient to parents, such were some of you. That is what God did in our lives. We were those people. But God made a difference. God changed us when we trusted in him, and people need to hear the good news of what Jesus has for them so that they can too change, so that their lives can be changed. People need to hear the scriptures that are able to make them wise on the salvation. Not only is the solution for the world salvation through the scriptures, but is direction through the scriptures. For the Christian, for us, where we are to go, what are we to do? We need to follow the scriptures. We need to learn to let the word of God work in our life. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God enables us to live the life we ought to live through his word. That is why we gather together for the teaching and preaching of the word of God. It is so that we can be instructed, so that God can guide us and work in our hearts. God enables us through his word to be perfect. The Bible says in John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the host forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be freed indeed." The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 9 and following, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." When we trusted in Christ, he made us a new creature. He enabled us to be different. And that difference is made possible by the word of God. We need to read it, and we need to obey it. We need to yield ourselves to God and not to sin. And simply put, that just all it is saying is, do what God says and not what you want to do. Don't let your flesh take control. Let God take control. And you have that ability as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that ability. If you are a Christian, you have the ability to serve God now. God has given you that ability. The Spirit of God will help you in that. In these last days, these perilous times around us, We look around us and we see that sin abounds more and more. But there is an answer, and that is found in God's word. God's word is the answer. That's God's work in our midst. That's God's work in the world in these last days. God's working through his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are many things we might say to ourselves, if only we could do these great works and the great wonders. If only someone were to rise up from the dead. And the word of God has the answer for that. It says they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. God's word is what this world needs. It needs us to stand up for the truth and share the truth and live the truth so that the world can see Jesus and you and I so that they can trust in Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, 18 and following, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. By one man's obedience, many were made sinners. Our world is dark. We're living in perilous days because of sin. And the answer to that sin is Jesus. It's the word of God. That is what this world needs. That's God's work in the world. It's through the preaching and teaching of the word of God, and that's what will make a difference in these dark days. Let's pray.